This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Friday night is ladies ball night. Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, the Gamecocks, and that underdog Wolfpack. Then it's big man Saturday tomorrow. DJ Burns, Zach Edey, Donovan Klingon. Plus the cost of an Ohtani home run and the cost of 1 year of Stephon Diggs. Let's go. Wow.
Anybody look like they're more ready for a Friday happy hour than Kevin Clark?
You guys are in the Final Four, but I feel like I'm the one that crashed the party. It's a different host, as you guys will find out. All right, let's begin with another huge night for women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark, you may have heard of her. Her prize for beating LSU deep three after deep three, a matchup with UConn. Gino Auriemma and Paige Beckers' Renaissance Tour gets their first shot at another one seed after dispatching USC earlier in the week. All right, Israel, let's start with you. Can the Huskies figure out the Caitlin Clark puzzle and get back to the finals?
Yeah, well, I think what a lot of people look at when they talk about the Huskies is their lack of depth and their ability to sort of do this with essentially six, maybe seven players here. And they did it against USC, yes. But you saw toward the end with a lot of those missed free throws, it seemed like they were fatigued. USC and Iowa play different styles of games. Iowa will be a little bit faster. Iowa will be a lot more perimeter oriented. And to me, and this is a lot of people, and I was one of them, was critical of Kim Mulkey and her defense or her team's defense of Caitlin Clark. What we're going to see is a very difficult call here by Gino Auriemma. Do you pay extra attention to Caitlin Clark? Do you blitz her? Do you force your team that doesn't have much depth to really run around on defense and play frantically? That is probably your best chance to get the ball out of Caitlin's hands, to maybe confuse that team a little bit. But is it your best chance as UConn to continually do that throughout the game and succeed? I think Gino Auriemma is going to have a pretty creative way, whether it be a zone that pays a little bit more attention to Caitlin or maybe some full court action just on her to get the ball out of her hands, because I feel like he doesn't want to fatigue his players. He knows that Paige will be there at the end. And so I don't think they have enough, but I think they will keep it close, maybe lose a game like 90-80.
You know, I spoke with Brenda Fries, the head coach of Maryland. She said exactly what you said about guarding Caitlin Clark. So you must be paying Amazing. Attention. Let's hear what Kevin Clark has to say. How do you figure out Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, the stat that matters is not the 32 points a game Caitlin Clark's going to score. It's the 9 assists. How do you slow down Iowa? The answer is Gino Auriemma is going to have a better defensive game plan than Kim Mulkey. Haley Vanillith is already in the portal. That's how bad of a defensive performance it was last game. She's already there. They haven't played another game. To me, I think UConn is going to win this. They're top 10 in defensive rating and offensive rating. Edwards is one of the best defensive rebounders in college basketball. I just think that they have, Izzy mentioned, it's only six or seven deep, but it's genuine talent. They're going to be able to slow Iowa down. LSU was never able to do that. This is about pace. UConn does it. Gino does it.
Kevin Clark on fire, like he had a five-hour energy drink. Tim Kalishaw, wow. What about Caitlin Clark?
You know, I think what Izzy and Kevin have talked about is kind of the surprise of the tournament. Iowa this year is the team you have to try to slow down. Last year, they were more about getting Caitlin Clark shots, and now she gets her shots, but she is such a good distributor of the ball. You saw those long half-court passes she threw against LSU, and it was LSU in the third quarter that was fatigued. And I do think that'll be a problem for some of the Connecticut players tonight, because as they touched on, they don't have a lot of depth. I don't think it'll be a problem for Paige Beckers. I think that's a fantastic matchup, and this is a game for Paige Beckers to remind people who the prize of the 2020 recruiting class was. So I think it's a great game, but I do think Iowa wins at the end.
All right, let's see if I save the best for last. David Dennis Jr., what do you got?
clearly.
Yeah, this is about UConn's defense and what they can do. We've talked about what Caitlin Clark can do in the perimeter, but UConn's defense and what they can do that LSU did not do besides, you know, blitzing her, was figuring out how to stifle those assists. She was carving them up with passes to people who were making tons of layups. What UConn had, they've only allowed 16 paint points per game in this tournament. So what they can do is they can shut down some of those passes, make Caitlin Clark have to score on her own, throw Nika Mühl at her, then Beckers herself even a little bit at her. And beyond that, this is about Paige Beckers and reminding everybody that she was the prize of the NCAA tournament, and that if she can reclaim that and outplay Caitlin Clark, UConn can win, and I do think that UConn is actually going to win this.
Tlaje Johnson's going to watch the game and say, you know what, I think I could defend her if I was given the chance for maybe more than 5 minutes. All right, I want to ask you about this Gino Auriemma quote. Listen to this.
Magic and Bird, TV all of a sudden started paying more attention, but then all of a sudden those two particular players came on, and it just lit everything up, and it just took off from there. So it needs some stars. It needs people that have the right personality, the right game. And we have that now.
Tim Kalishaw, you lived through Bird and Magic. Can this game tonight, Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, have that kind of impact?
You know, I think in a lot of ways it can, because this will get an enormous rating, like Magic and Bird got the highest rating ever for an NCAA championship game. And then the next year, the NBA became something very different. Prior to them, it was the Seattle Supersonics playing the Washington Bullets on tape delay, games that started at 11:30 on TV in the East. And once Magic and Bird arrived, completely changed how we viewed the NBA and how many people viewed it. Now, Paige Beckers isn't coming in next year, but Caitlin Clark is. Every game she goes to on the road will be an event. Angel Reese will have a big impact. I do think the star power is going to help change the WNBA.
David, have we already had this game? An impact game.
Yeah, the game already happened. It was Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese last year and last week. 12 million people watched that game. And what's important that Auriemma has to remember about Bird and Magic is there was a racial component to this, is that America was captivated by a white player and a black player, and they were picking their sides. We saw that last week and the year before. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark also are both going into the WNBA together. This is going to carry on. That is the rivalry that he's actually talking about.
Izzy, what did you make of Gino's quote?
Yeah, I find there's some flaws in it as well. Another of the contrast between Magic and Bird was their styles of games and their backgrounds. And I don't think style of game necessarily is that different, at least enough, between Paige and Caitlin. And I agree. I feel like it happened last year with Angel Reese, and again this year, and they are going into the pros together. While I don't think is a perfect comp, I do think that there are star players who are taking their game, Paige eventually, from this level to the next level and will elevate that WNBA, will take all those eyes ideally with them. So in that sense, it is absolutely a good comp. It's just a matter of just, you know, those minor details.
Kevin Clark, get the final word here.
Yeah, the evidence it was last year's game is that there's so much attention on this year's games. Yeah. Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark is that there's a reason we know all of these stars now. It's because of last year's game. Gino's a year off on this.
Yeah. All right, we've been horned. Let's move on. The other game tonight, undefeated South Carolina and underdog North Carolina State. The Gamecocks won their first two games by 40-plus points, but kept Indiana and Oregon State around in the last two wins. The Wolfpack and their hot three-point shooting have dispatched a two-seed and a one-seed by double digits in the first two rounds. David, can you see NC State giving Dawn Staley's team any trouble tonight?
No, I don't. The only team that's been giving South Carolina trouble has been South Carolina, and the way that they've sort of lost attention in these games. They've given up 13-point leads in four out of the last six games. That's just self-inflicted wounds. 33%, they were taking bad shots against Oregon. It's like they just wanted to end the game once they got the double-digit lead. Seems like they're not taking it as seriously. They have 155 bench points in this so far, and nobody has even half of that. They're just too much depth on that team.
Izzy?
Yeah, I think this is Isaiah James' chance to continue her run for NC State. And if she is able to make life difficult for South Carolina, then maybe there's a chance. I mean, this is a player who averaged 16, maybe 17 during the regular season and hadn't given you a game less than 19 points in this tournament. But as we mentioned with South Carolina, if there's one problem, they fix it with somebody else. They play nine deep. I think Cardoso probably as a senior, as somebody who wants to sort of establish some dominance for that team, is going to have a big performance, going to come out of the gates really quick. And I think South Carolina eventually over.
It's amazing. We have an undefeated team as the undercard tonight at the Women's Final Four. Kevin Clark, NC State got any chance to get South Carolina?
Not really. When we talk about margin of error in sports, we're usually talking about defense, and South Carolina has that. They do not give up easy buckets. In the regular season, they were the best team in the country at two-point defensive field goal percentage, 34%. So it's going to take a lot of threes. It's going to take a lot of prayers. I don't think they get there. I think they win big.
Sounds like you're stealing David's notes. Tim Kalischel, let's work.
You know, as the only panelist who was at the Final Four press conferences a year ago here in Dallas, South Carolina was a bigger favorite to go all the way last year. And they didn't get past Iowa. North Carolina State leads the tournament in fast break points. They'll make some runs and scare them.
All right, the women's final is Sunday.
Then you
in
get
South Carolina, can they run the table, get finish undefeated? Caitlin Clark, this will be her last game at Iowa. Can she win? UConn getting back to the top, or do we see NC State pulling off the upset? Tim, what do you got?
I think we've seen with Gabby Marshall and others that Iowa is more than Caitlin Clark this year. Iowa is going to finish the job, win the national title.
David Dennis?
South Carolina, too much Dawn Staley, too much death.
Is he?
Iowa v. South Carolina, Iowa comes out on top.
Kevin?
I'm stealing David's notes again. South Carolina wins.
All right, we'll see who wins. Next round coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
On the men's side, let's start with the battle of the bigs. Purdue and Zach Edey against NC State and DJ Burns Jr. Can Burns slow down the unstoppable Edey? And can Edey somehow stop that light-footed DJ Burns revolution? Tim Kalischel, how do you think this shakes out tomorrow night?
Well, I don't think North Carolina State is going to bother with Burns trying to cover Edey. They don't want to get him in foul trouble. They've got other bigs, Diarra and Middlebrooks, who can get into foul trouble. But I do think North Carolina State can cause Edey problems at the other end. Burns spins on people, and he's got a variety of moves and great hands. And they're a great defensive team. They took Marquette completely out of their offense. I think they keep it a game. North Carolina State makes it a game.
David?
I think North Carolina State needs to throw everything they can at Edey, including Burns. This Purdue team, a lot of the people are focused on UConn. They've been blowing out teams by an average of 21 points per game, right below where UConn was. And Edey is averaging 30 and 15 through four games, the fourth person to do that in 70 years. There's too much Edey, too much Purdue for this NC State team.
Izzy, what about NC State? They've won 9 straight winner-go-home games. Can they make it 10 tomorrow night?
You think DJ Horn is mad that he can't even be the most famous DJ on his team? I mean, he is their leading scorer, not DJ Burns. And I do think that DJ Horn probably is the key here. They're going to need to shoot the lights out to probably beat Purdue. They didn't really do that in the last game, but they didn't turn the ball over a lot. I anticipate a few more turnovers against Purdue, which means they're going to have to score a lot more. I don't think they can get Edey out of the paint, even with DJ Burns. So I think Purdue takes
it. Kevin Clark?
You're witnessing history. I cover the NFL, but I'll be the first NFL reporter to talk about DJ Burns without randomly theorizing he wants to go play left tackle next year. He's a very good basketball player, but that won't be enough. These point spreads on Saturday night are the two biggest point spreads in the semifinals since 1998. There's a reason for that. These are two dominant teams in Purdue and UConn. Zach Edey has outscored in the paint two entire opponents by himself. That continues. NC State just doesn't have the horses to go. Purdue wins.
Well, since you brought up football, I actually spoke to Dwight Burns Sr. this morning. He played. He was a tight end at South Carolina State. Can the son play football, you think, at the next level?
Give yourself a point.
Good point. Everyone else is good. What do you think, Kevin? Can he play?
I mean, if he wants to, but he's a pretty good basketball player. I mean, like, I think every scout looks at anybody who's over 6'7" and can move and say, let's put pads on him. But I think he's got a future elsewhere right now.
I love him. He's the face and the body of the men's NCAA tournament. All right, the other game Saturday, Alabama versus UConn. UConn's toughest foe so far. Let's face it, it's been the FAA. I think they've arrived in Arizona. Will Bama have the size to contend with Klingon? Can Bama keep shooting over 40% from three? Izzy, how close can Alabama keep this one?
Well, the brilliant Myron Metcalf gave me a stat about Alabama. He said they're 19-1 when they'd score 89 points or more. Only lost to
Good
Kentucky.
Sourcing.
Problem is, UConn has given up 89 points or more one time this year. That was the St. John's in the Big East tournament, and they won that game by five. UConn is too good, too deep, clinging too long down there in the paint. UConn's going to take
Kevin?
It.
Kevin?
I'm obsessed with this quote that Jeff Borzello got on ESPN.com today, where a rival SEC coach said, if Alabama makes 15 threes, they'll have a shot. That's not good, okay? When UConn contested a shot in the last round, Illinois was 0-for-19, including 0-of-5 on three-pointers. When they want to play defense, when they want to clamp down, nobody can score on them. They win this game. Purdue and UConn are just circling each other. They can only defeat themselves. It's not going to be close.
Tim Kalishaw, you've been in the newspaper business for a million years. Do you have any sources? What do you got?
I have no sources on this, but I did go to high school, the same high school, with Ryland Griffin of Alabama.
There we go.
Maybe 50 years apart. But Alabama has no chance. I'm sorry. They might make 15 threes. They would have to shoot at least 50 to make 15, though. And their big problem is they don't defend very well. They gave 100 points up to Florida twice and Kentucky. They gave up 117. Connecticut's going to rip through
them. David, UConn has a 10-game winning streak in the NCAA tournament. No one's come within 13. Does Alabama have a chance?
They don't. If I squint, I can make an argument for Alabama, who's first KenPom in offense, making a bunch of threes and you know, making miracle happen. But that's about it. When Klingon's been on the court, UConn is a plus 60 in this
Ridiculous.
Tournament. That defense is just suffocating anybody that comes near them. It's UConn and Purdue. This feels like a formality this weekend.
All right, let's move on. And this is an interesting story. Remember the Shohei Ohtani, the home run, his first home run with the Dodgers a couple of nights ago? Well, the couple that ended up with the ball, they told The Athletic that they were quickly swarmed by Dodgers security and staff trying to negotiate a return for the ball to give it to Ohtani. The couple said they were actually split up and pressured, and they were told the team wouldn't authenticate the ball if they kept it. There's also a controversy on whether Ohtani even met with them. His interpreter saying he did, and the couple saying he didn't. It feels like Ohtani's got a little bit of a credibility problem. All right, David, what are the Dodgers doing here, and how can this whole thing go so poorly?
The Dodgers are making a huge mistake. How do you get two people who catch a ball and separate them in interrogating rooms like they're Bodie and Poot from The Wire and you're playing good cop and bad cop? I do not understand this. This is another example of baseball. The Dodgers, Ohtani, shooting themselves in the foot when this should be a great story about a superstar at this team, and it's been nothing but avoidable, ridiculous stories like this.
Is he?
If anybody should know how to deal with a mega star, it's the
Yes.
team in Hollywood. And when he has got this giant scandal that's brewing, although we haven't really talked about it in a while, this giant scandal that's brewing over him, you don't want to create these little mini ones here and there. You want the Dodgers fans not to give reason to dislike Ohtani, and so far you're starting in the wrong way. So I don't know what they're doing here. Give them whatever the heck they want for the ball, and yeah, end this
I
controversy.
I love it.
You don't need any more.
It's the biggest controversy that nobody's talking about. Kevin Clark?
Yeah, I can't imagine what they're going to do for actually meaningful home runs if they're doing this for his first home run, which won't matter in the grand scheme of things. I do have some good news for Dodgers security, who it seems like they want to be do a lot of work. They seem like they have a lot of time on their hands. There's a missing $4.5 million. They can go investigate that.
Tim Kalisho, the ball, they're saying it, right now they could probably get $100,000 for it. That's chump change for you. But what are the Dodgers doing here?
Yes. You know, okay, let me say something first. The security people are sent out there initially to help the people in case others out in the bleachers decide they want
that's
the ball.
That's probably true.
This happens at Yankee Stadium. It happens other places. Now, can the Dodgers control these security people? Did they go perhaps a bit too far, as David Dennis pointed out? Separate interrogating.
Wait.
I don't really think that was
called. So you're saying you're okay with what the Dodgers did?
Initially, yes. They just went a little too far. And the Dodgers even said, we're willing to give more if they need more.
He's supporting
maybe a glove.
He's being integrated and split up. So guess what? I'm going to split you up, and I'm going to split Kevin Clark up. And we got Izzy. He was right there for you, Tim.
I agree.
And your sources. Izzy and David in Showdown.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
David and Izzy, welcome to Showdown. The New York Mets in the middle of game two of a doubleheader. And at one point, the Mets had gone 13 innings without a hit.
Nobody in the ballpark. 0-5. Hitless through 7. Feels like rock bottom.
Rock bottom. We did have an earthquake today in New York. They did end up winning game two for their first win of the year. But if that was rock bottom, does it mean they go up from here, David?
Not only had they gone 13 innings without a hit, they'd had 13 innings in the same day without a hit. That had not happened in 50 years. That feels very rock bottom-y. But as somebody who likes to set low expectations, when you win a game, it's a big celebration when you come back from something like that.
Is he?
This is broadcasting gold. We all need a Gary Cohen in our life to tell us when we're at rock bottom, when it can get no lower. But he's also a prophet. Frank, you just said it. They had an earthquake. That's basically him predicting it.
You know, Gary Cohen, he also calls Seton Hall basketball. Maybe he was upset that he couldn't do the game last night. Seton Hall, by the way, over Indiana State in the NIT final. Let's split the point. All right, Warriors over the Rockets last night. Pretty much seals up their spot in the play-in. Afterwards, Clay and Draymond chiding the Houston crowd with Warriors come out and play. Remember that from the movie? Tim Kalisho was around the 70s when it came out. That phrase, of course, is from the movie The Warriors. And Tari Eason wore it on his shirt, and that drew the team's ire. Is that really what the Warriors need for motivation these days, is it?
They don't need it for motivation. The Rockets were so close to finishing this season brilliantly, and then they slipped up, and then they did this. Wait till next year to start picking these fights.
David?
I don't know if they need it for motivation, but it is inexplicable to wear a shirt taunting the other team when you are not playing. You cannot do that from the bench. You cannot taunt a team from outside the club. Wear a regular T-shirt.
Yeah. And you know what? Your boy, Steph Curry, did play well last night. So you get the extra point and the win. David, take the face down.
Yes, this is a huge sports weekend. A lot of people watching the Final Four. I will be too. But you know what else I will be watching? The biggest weekend of my year, WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. It'll be a little cold, but it'll be a lot of fun. I'm prepared. I have my Bootios lunchbox. I have my Jade Cargill action figure. I am ready. As far as predictions, The Rock, Roman Reigns are winning on Saturday. If you smell what David is cooking. WrestleMania, baby.
Izzy, I apologize for that. 71 and a half hour break. Tony's back on Monday. Enjoy the games tonight.